Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in two chapters in Luke tonight for our text, and then we'll depart from it never to return. Luke chapter 12, all right? Luke chapter 12, once you get that, go back and get Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 12. And then Luke chapter 3, if you will. I want to preach to you tonight a message that you may not need right now, but you may need it in the future, and just file it away and hang on to it if you do. I want to preach to you on when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. I have. I've been there sometimes. I didn't know what to do. And so we'll try to help you that way, if you will. Luke chapter 3, maybe you said, boy, preacher should have preached that 2 weeks ago. Well, I'm preaching it now, all right? Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now I want you to hang on to that. Notice three times we find them asking, what shall we do? In verse 10, people came and said, what shall we do? You drop down to verse 12, the publicans came and they said, what shall we do? You get to verse 14, the soldiers came, had the same question. So obviously they weren't sure what to do. Then, if you will, over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. The Bible said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, in these three scriptures, or these two passages of Scripture, excuse me, that we read, we see three groups of people and one individual that are not sure of what they were to do. So the question they ask is, all right, what am I going to do? What shall I do? They all wondered about the same thing. Now, most of us, at some point in life, you've been in that same situation. Some point in life, you've been at that point where you face that situation, that uncertainty of what am I going to do? Now, you may think, well, hey, it's not that big a deal. I mean, yeah, there's been times that I thought I don't know what to do, and I wasn't sure when I just went ahead, made a decision, and went on, and it really and truly is not that big a deal. Now, that may sound good to some, but I want you to consider this fact. Many times, there's only one right thing to do. But there's a whole lot of wrong things to do. And it's important when you're faced with it, you need to do the right thing, okay? You need to make the right decision. You said, I don't know what I ought to do. You say, it can't be that big a deal. Well, it can be. Doing the wrong thing could destroy your home. Doing the wrong thing could ruin your marriage, your family. You're doing the wrong thing could drive your kids away. Doing the wrong thing could get you totally out of the will of God. Now, that's not all that could happen, but I submit to you, isn't that enough to make us concerned? We need to be careful when we don't know what to do, that we do what we should do, all right? Now, it's not a good idea when you don't know what to do to just take a wild guess and hope it works out. That's not the thing to do, all right? You say, well, preacher, when we don't know what to do, what should we do? First of all, I want to say this. Don't be quick to do anything. Don't be quick to do anything. Look, there's often benefit in waiting. Sometimes you'll face a problem, and if you'll wait just a little bit, and I don't mean months or years, okay? But if you'll wait just a little bit, that problem will take care of itself. It'll be gone. You won't have to worry about it. It does away with itself. But man, do we ever live in a day when people are in a hurry? Want to do, you know, got it. People drive crazy because they're in a hurry. Man, you're driving along, here comes somebody whipping in and out of traffic, you know. I confess to you, I do think that's the guy I would like to see roll it over, all right? But not roll over somebody else. And but you see people do that kind of thing. You see people, man, they're in such a big hurry doing whatever, they hurt themselves, or they cause other people to, you know, get hurt because they were in a hurry. People get careless because they're in a hurry. People make big mistakes sometimes because they're in a hurry. Sometimes we embarrass ourselves because we're in a hurry. Hey, don't be too quick to do anything. You got a problem. There's something that comes up. You say, what in the world should I do about it? Don't think you just have to make the decision right there. Don't think it's got to be settled then. I want to point out to you a few things. Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, would you? Isaiah chapter 40. I want you to notice this truth. Isaiah chapter 40, down to the last verse in that chapter. Well-known verse. We read it, you'll say, boy, I've heard that, all right? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Did you notice who renews their strength? It's not those that get in a hurry. It's those that wait. It's those that know how to wait. It's those that wait upon the Lord. They're the ones that will renew their strength. Hey, sometimes we get in a big hurry, we get ahead of God. We move and we think, well, I've just got to do that. And we get ahead of the Lord in our actions. What happens to us? Well, we wind up weak. We wind up defeated. Why? Just couldn't wait a little bit. Just couldn't wait on the Lord. You say, well, wait for what? And I'm glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 59, would you go there? Isaiah chapter 59, look at verse 9. Isaiah 59, verse 9, the Bible said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. But what we're waiting on is light. All right? Now, the best place to get your light is from God. And sometimes God wants us to wait on it, all right? We just have to wait. We can't get in that big hurry. We Well, I want to deal with it. I want to deal with it right now. Well, it's okay, but don't get in too big a hurry. You got a situation that's going on. Sometimes it's good to just sit a bit and wait until God provides some light for you. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be sitting there and all of a sudden this great light shines around you and you're blinded. No, but God gives you the insight that you need, what to do and how to do it. Don't rush it. Don't think I've got to settle it now. I've got this issue. Hey, maybe with your family, maybe with children. It may be with a spouse. There's an issue. Hey, maybe there's unkind words that have been said. Don't get too quick to think it's got to be settled right now. Don't get to the point where you think, man, I just, no, they that wait upon the Lord. Hey, we wait for light. We wait for God to give us that light. Now, while we wait, second thing, we pray. We pray. Now, I say that, and I feel like every one of you sitting out here said, I knew he's going to say that. Well, good. We ought to pray. But, you know, when we look at it, sometimes we kind of make light of it and downplay the matter of praying. But it is so important to us, all right? You might say, preacher, we know that. Hey, but I won't say this to you. I'm not saying pray because I want you to pray and expect a 1-2-3 recipe, 3 easy steps, the problem solved and it's done, no sweat. Now that's what we want. But it doesn't come that way. God doesn't always come across with, here's an easy step, you do this and this and this, it'll take care of it. You go to the doctor, I don't know about y'all, but when I go to the doctor, I want him to say, take this pill, swallow it, you'll be fine tomorrow. Or I don't even mind him saying, hey, we've got this hypodermic, bring it on. I'm not afraid of a needle. If it'll make me feel better and make me feel better quick, do it. But if they come along and say, well, I don't know, but we'll try. What do you mean we'll try? You know, I want the easy, quick. I went to a dermatologist one time for months and months. And the last time I went and saw him, he looked at me and said, just be honest with you. There's nothing else I can do for you. And I said, you know, I figured you were a failure all along. No, I didn't. Hey, we want that. Give it to me. Well, I'm talking about praying, and prayer I'm talking about is not, Lord, here's what I need, and I need you to put it in my hand now. I mean some serious prayer. We need to learn to pray, okay? I'm talking about prayer that comes from a humble and maybe even hurting heart of a believer who needs and is looking for some specific help. Learn to pray that way. The Bible in James 5:16 says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not a quick thing, but some serious praying. Spending some time with God seeking help. Now remember, you're in a situation, you say, I don't know what to do. Then come to God and begin to seek Him and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm here. You spend some time begging God to give you an answer. And by the way, not just the answer you want. Old Jonah, when he was there on that ship, no sailors, man, the storm was going on, and they thought, what in the world are we going to do? Finally, Jonah spoke up and said, hey, fellas, it's me. It's me. What you need to do is throw me overboard. Now, they didn't say, fine, grab him. Remember what they did? The Bible said they struggled still, and they got to the point where they realized Jonah's telling the truth. It's not necessarily what we want to do, but it's what's got to be done. And when you pray, you're in a situation where you're not sure and you don't know what to do, don't come to God and, when God gives you the answer, say, well, I'm going to keep praying. Maybe you'll change your mind. No, but go to him. And we need some light. Why? We're in the dark. That's why. We're in the dark. We don't know what to do. Ask God and wait until he gives that light. Now, when I say ask God, I don't mean pray once, all right? I mean keep praying. Keep praying. The first time I ever remember seeing John R. Rice, the evangelist, he and another individual, don't know who the other person was, can't remember, they sang a duet, and the song they sang was Pray Till the Light Breaks Through. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. We have to keep coming to God. Hey, you're in this situation. I don't know what to do. Pray. Seek God with it. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you the light that you need. Hey, tell the truth. Confess it. Lord, I'm in the dark. I'm lost. I don't know how to handle it. Need your help. Third thing you need to do is seek counsel. Seek counsel. Maybe there's someone else who's gone through the same experience. Or they face that same circumstance that you're dealing with. Listen, I think sometimes God allows us to go through things so we can help somebody later. I really do. I believe God allows us to go through things so later on we can help somebody going through the same issue. And he lets this happen to us and he said, all right, now you can help the next person. And what we need to do when we seek counsel is look for those that might have successfully, notice I said successfully, negotiated that confusing ground that you're walking on. The ones that have been successful at it. Don't go to somebody and say, hey, could you tell me what mistake you made so I can avoid that? Because a lot of times, remember I said there's a lot of wrong answers? So you don't want to just go through all the wrong answers. You're seeking the right answer. Try to find that person. They've gone through it. They're familiar with it, all right? They're familiar with it. Hey, seek somebody who's got spiritual insight. Spiritual insight. Way too many times, God's people go to the world and take the world's view and never look for what God thinks. Never look for what God thinks. There have been times I've listened to different ones on the radio and heard their suggestions. People presented a problem, and I thought, well, that's contrary to what the Bible says. It may be what psychology says, but it's not what God says to do. And so don't just buy into that. You know, I'm glad maybe Dr. Phil can help some folks, all right? Whoopee. All right? We won't go there, all right? I won't tell that, Brother Lieber. But, hey, there, you know, maybe he can. But wait a minute. What you need is somebody that's got some spiritual insight. Somebody that's there. Don't go and look for the world's view. Don't accept that. There's a lot better way to do things, okay? Let me give you some scripture. Look in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Look in verse 14, would you? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, 14. This is what the Bible says. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Then look in chapter 15 of Proverbs. Chapter 15, look at verse 22. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It's a good thing to seek it out. The Bible says safety lies with good counsel. Find you some good counsel. A multitude. Go to, you know, don't say, well, I'll take that one and that's it. Sometimes different people have different insights to the same problem. Hey, it doesn't necessarily mean that this one is wrong. But this one over here has got another insight that might help you. So don't be afraid to seek that counsel. Notice the Bible said not only is there safety there, but it says purposes are established. Purposes are established. Mistakes then can be avoided. If we'll do what? Seek that counsel. Seek good counsel. Wise counsel. Spiritual, godly counsel. All right? And here you are, don't know what to do. Go ask for help. Then the fourth thing, and this may be the most important part, okay? Continue to do what you know is right to do. Continue to do what you know is right to do. I see people that get faced with problems and they quit. They're facing a problem and they quit. They cease doing what they know is right to do while they're just trying to figure out what am I going to do when I don't know what to do. Well, there's some things you know what to do, all right? They're there. And it's super important. Now, I said at the beginning, don't be too quick to do anything. However, it's always right to do what you know is right to do. It's always right to do that. Hey, here you are. Let's just put it in a specific. Let's say you've got a problem with a child, okay? You got a problem with a child. Maybe that child is beginning to come at you with some, you know, rebellious behavior or whatever. Hey, you don't quit doing what you know is right to do between you and that child. You don't quit doing that. Hey, if they're disobedient, they still ought to be expected to be obedient. Hey, you need to correct misbehavior. You need to let them know you love them. You say, well, I don't have the answer to that one specific thing. Well, don't quit on them while you're trying to get it. You keep doing what you know is right to do. Don't let that child get the idea, well, I can get away with anything now. Don't let that happen to you. Hey, maybe having a difficulty between you and your spouse. Not that anybody here would ever have an unkind word to pass between us. Can I say this to you? If you're doing that, you need to communicate. Keep the communication open. Here's what we sometimes like to do. We think, I'll give you the silent treatment. Well, that'll solve it. Guarantee you. You're trying to figure out how to handle the problem, and you quit communicating whatsoever. Can I say this to you? Dreadful mistake. Big mistake. Don't give that silent treatment. I'll relate this back to those times years and years ago when I was dating. Before I figured out, I'll never understand a woman. Before I got that figured out, I can remember thinking all of a sudden you could tell the air was heavy. There was problems. And you ask this question, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, thank God to know nothing's wrong. Y'all been, anybody been there? Am I the only one that went through that? Yeah, you've been there. Okay, good. Now, I mean, you know, we think if I just cut it off, that'll solve it. That won't solve anything. That, hey, if that's not the problem, quitting communicating is going to add another problem to the one you don't know what to do. It's going to add another problem to it, all right? Hey, it is always right to be kind and courteous. Always. And not with an edge. Y'all know what I mean when I say not with an edge? Yeah. Coming across with, I'm doing it, you know, I'm going to be nice to you in spite. No, just forget it, okay? We come across that way. Hey, do what you know is right to do. Hey, you're having trouble at work. got problems on the job. Can I say this to you? If you're employed, it's always right for you to show up and do your job. It's always right for you to show up and do your job. You may be having trouble with another co-worker, but it's still right for you to show up and do your job. It's still right for you to be courteous to that co-worker, all right? Hey, the only thing we do is make things worse when we quit doing what we know is right to do. Hey, got a problem? You stay in church. You stay in church. Man, I've known people that they had problems erupt in their lives, sometimes in the family, sometimes with children. What? First thing they do is quit going to church. Really? You think that's going to help it? Man, that dead sure. But I've watched a lot of people do it. Hey, you know it's right to go to the house of God? You go. You go. You just keep doing it. You keep doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. Hey, folks, I believe this with all my heart. I believe God wants his children to be successful. I believe that. I believe he wants us to enjoy this life. And I believe, according to the Word of God, over and over, he's promised to help us. And he's invited us to come to him. He said, you need something? Come. He's told us, man, pray. Call upon me. He said, the problem, you don't have what you want because you quit asking. So he encouraged us to do it. Man, you run into a situation, you say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Can I say, take your time? Take your time. If you don't have to make, you know, a drastic decision and a drastic action, don't do it if you don't have to. Take your time about it. And wait. Take it to God. Pray to him. And ask him for help. Ask him for wisdom. Then seek counsel about it. Don't be afraid. Well, I'm embarrassed to ask somebody. Look, if you get through this life and never need help, let me know how it goes, would you? Most everybody I know at some time or another needs help of some sort. Don't be embarrassed. Ask for it, all right? Seek counsel. And then while you're going through it, you do what's right. You do what's right. You keep doing what's right. All the time. Hey, you're having trouble with a person at work. Don't let their action cause you to do wrong. Don't do like kids at school. Well, I didn't, but he did. You didn't have to do wrong because they did. You didn't have to mess up because she did. You didn't have to do what he did. Remember the old deal, if you ever watch football? The one that usually gets the flag for personal foul is the one who retaliates. Because the ref misses the first action. They don't see what started it. And they see how this one reacts to what the other one did, and out comes the flag. Oftentimes, that happens. Hey, look, that's why you need to do right. You just need to do right. You say, well, they don't treat me right. They may not, but you still need to do right. You still need to do right. You know what's right. Do it. You pray and you ask God, you wait on him and let him show you, give you light so you'll know what to do. But while you're waiting, you keep doing what's right. Keep trusting him and keep obeying him. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Or just simple thoughts. But we're faced many times in life wondering, what do I do? What should I do? What action should I take? Oh, Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to learn to wait on you. Help us to pray.